Okay, and we should say good morning to RBN listeners. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting. DJ Barden is my name, and we're here today, again, Saturday, the 6th of May, 2017. And yours truly here in the UK. I'm the only, I suppose you're the only foreigner at RBN, am I? Probably. But we should say a little bit about what's going on with the UK. We just had, we're in the middle of a general election here. Theresa May has pulled an election, which she said she wouldn't do, but there was a fixed-term limit, but she got that blown out of Parliament, and pulled an election, which she's right to do. Well, she had 3 years to go, but as the party, she switched from Cameron to her, because Cameron resigned after losing the referendum on Brexit. And she's pulled the election, but it also overlaps the local elections, which were held yesterday right across England, Scotland, and Wales. And the Tories actually won hands down in most places. And it looks like she headed for a tremendous majority, and she'll be in power for 5 years, which is necessary. And most people are crossing political lines to back her, including UKIP. They gave up their entire vote to the Conservatives, because if she went on this two-year negotiation with the European Union, and Juncker and all these schmucks, she would have run out of time and they would blackmail her. So she's quite right, and people do understand it. One thing that is quite good in Britain, people do understand the situation pretty well now, even people who vote Remain. And it's very good. The general election is on the 8th of June, and it is a very good omen yesterday. I did go and vote my voting card here. Although this area here, only about 30% of the population voted, very low poll in the local elections, but in the general election, 65% usually go out and vote, and it may be higher this time. But that's on the 8th of June, and of course tomorrow we have the big high jump in France, which is, say this for John Stafford's benefit, it'd be very sad. Sorry, John, but Le Pen and Macron, but unfortunately Le Pen won't be elected. She'll probably get 38%, maybe 40% at the most. But it is worth saying about the French and the perverseness of the French population. They are perverse. I lived amongst French Quebecers in Canada. I know all about them, eyeball to eyeball, how perverse they are. But, for instance, John covered it and RBN covered it the way, for instance, as an example, how perverse they are. The illegal immigrants trashing the streets of Paris and sleeping in the streets and turning the place into a slum. And Le Pen is very strong overall in northern France. She's weak in certain parts. But what percentage did she get in the Paris election just gone by in the first round? 5%. 5%. And they are voting for her tomorrow. It looks like they're going to elect Macron. He's never been elected public office before. He was an appointed finance minister by Hollande, and then he left. He's a socialist, so-called. But he's actually a full-blown globalist. I was saying to somebody on the phone yesterday, if the Illuminati and the Bilderbergers were to develop a candidate they wanted in a petri dish with a sperm donor and all the rest, and develop their own candidate, here he is, they got him, Macron. This is the guy who said that Brexit was a crime. Brexit in Britain was a crime, right? And who did he leave government to go and work for? The Rothschilds. Works for the Rothschilds. And he is an out-and-out globalist. And the French are going to elect him. And unemployment in France is incredibly high. It's possibly nearly 20%, because they fiddle the figures there as well. So the French are going to vote for this schmuck tomorrow. So figure that out. And by the way, the German election in September won't be much better. There's still an outside chance Merkel could get back into power under the proportional representation and multi-party coalition government system. So that's ahead, but tomorrow Macron is going to be elected, that's for sure, for Sunday tomorrow in France. And even though there's a new scandal broken about him today about tax fiddling, but that's come too late. But Le Pen, she didn't do that well in the debate. It's hard to watch those debates. They are, you know, subtitled and translated, both speaking French, but she didn't actually do that well. People who analyzed her speech, she didn't prepare very well. But she's quite careless on some things. But she is, apart from immigration, they call her the extreme right-wing candidate, she's a hardcore socialist. She wants the retirement age brought down to 60, 35 hour a week, and more social security. And the French state is already 50, I think it's 57% of GDP. So figure that out about France. That's what's going on there. But anyway, back to the subject on this program. We usually deal with the lies, deceit, criminality, and attack on us all from scientists and the state, multinationals and the state conspiring to destroy us. It's just no end to it. And I have some interesting pieces here today. And there's a deluge of it. One story, I don't know where to start really. Al Gore wants $15 trillion. Yes, $15 trillion to fight imaginary climate change. $15 trillion. Well, we know there's $9 trillion being stolen out of the Pentagon Fund by the military-industrial complex. But this is a mega scandal to bury all other scandals. Well, this is something he's proposing to do. And we're quoting this again from J.D. Hayes in Natural News. And it says here, some things never go away as much as you might want them to. Bad pennies, the odor of dog stuff on your shoes, so you step in, and et cetera, et cetera. The Clintons and Al Gore and stuff like that. Yeah, as well, a good analogy. As for the latter, the former vice president has figured out how much money he'll need to finally rid the world of its climate change problem. Well, this guy, the crap this guy gets away with, climate change has been with us from the beginning of time. That's code word for global warming, which is a total scam. Clean up pollution is their priority. That's absolutely priority. I come to a shocking story later on about Fukushima. But $15 trillion, trillion dollars with a T, or sadder, depending on how you look at it. Gore says that amount of money does not pose a major macroeconomic challenge. if we all start paying carbon taxes as indentured slaves, they could get that money together in a few years. I'm sure they could, yeah. And make Al Gore a billionaire in the process. Read Al Gore's 207 prediction that all Arctic ice will be gone by 2014. Now proven to be alarmingly fear-mongering. Just to correct, the ice in the northern Arctic is reducing slightly, but it's massively increasing in the Antarctic. And that is to do with the lots of cyclical things that happen in climate over many years. We're into global cooling in the northern hemisphere. Happens 180 years. And also the catastrophic damage done to the Gulf Stream with core exit and the oil spill. It's going to get very cold here in a few years. And it says, as reported by the Daily Caller, Gore is part of a new organization, the Energy Transition Commission. Ooh, Energy Transition, another organization, comprises of executives who are committed to fighting global warming, fighting an imaginary problem, imagine, and climate change that they insist do all hoaxers. It's been caused by human activity. Yeah, they need to eliminate us, and they intend doing that as well. 80% of us to be wiped out by 2030, I think. The group has just published a new report claiming that if countries would only pony up $600 billion a year collectively for the next 20 years, oh, it's over 20 years, that's really decent of them, then that would fund green energy development and improve energy efficient infrastructure. A great phrase, that infrastructure. In addition, the report says additional investments of around $300 to $600 billion per year do not pose a major macroeconomic challenge in attempting to meet the climate change objectives laid out in the Paris Accords that the Trump administration is considering abandoning because they penalize rich industrial nations. Now it appears Gore wants to do the same thing using Karl Marx's socialist playbook, rob from the rich and redistribute to the poor, which is precisely how the scheme would work. Well, he would not do that, clown. Mistaken this, honestly. It would rob the people on wages. That's what it would do with carbon taxes. The Daily Caller notes further, ETC, this new organization, Energy Transition Commission, is made up of energy executive, activist leaders, investment bankers, of course, including former Vice President Al Gore, who would no doubt get a piece of the trillions of dollars they are calling for. ETC's goal is to accelerate change towards low-carbon energy system that enable robust economic development and limit global warming. ETC's report comes out as the Trump administration considers whether or not to stay party to the Paris Agreement, which went into effect in 2016. A long article. Does this see how much more of this is relevant? Speaking of Gore and his bank account, the former VP has done, Vice President has done quite well for himself since leaving the West Wing. When he filed public financial disclosure forms during his failed 2000 presidential bid, his net worth was somewhere around $700,000. Between that and $1.9 million. Today, it's around $300 million, and I think it's way above that. All made out of a scam. Thanks to selling his stake in the Current TV and a failed left-wing cable network to Al Jazeera and other investments, Gore's most recent claim to fame was an ill-sourced, wholly inaccurate documentary film called The Inconvenient Truth, a baseless piece of global warming propaganda that had more holes in it than the current U.S.-Mexican border. Yeah, well, those schools in Britain were just prevented from giving that out to every child in Britain until some of the pressure groups spoke up. Because most teachers here are left-wing liberal lefties anyway. But nevertheless, it's upon this false premise that Gore and the ETC now want to fleece rich nations and enrich themselves financially through heightened political relevance and status. Yeah, absolutely gargantuan white-collar crime here. But in the age of Trump, who appoints Scott Pruitt a major skeptic of the cult-like belief that human activity is causing the planet to warm, to head up the EPA, and who is considering ditching the Paris Accord, Gore has become more irrelevant than ever. Well, he still has a brass neck, or related, read Al Gore, Big Government, Ecofair, and all other articles, yeah. That said, there are certainly more forces, many unexpected, that are pushing Trump to keep the U.S. abiding in the Paris Accord, even though it was agreed by President Obama and sent to the U.S. Senate for ratification as a treaty, like it was supposed to be. One of those forces is Shell Oil Company. They run Nigeria, for instance. What a hellhole that is, extracting the oil there and bribing a bent government, which is a major producer of natural gas, believed to be the alternative fuel of choice in combating emissions. Oh, it isn't. It's fossil fuel. Shell is even helping to fund ETC. But there's more than meets the eye. The Daily Caller notes that Shell is hawking increased natural gas use as a way to curb atmospheric emissions. The ETC report targets coal emissions, calling for a rapid decrease in unabated coal consumption, a peak of oil in the 2020s, and the continued role for gas, blah, 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 blah. Okay, it goes on and on and on. But Al Gore, what a shyster. What a total shyster. But then we have these two perverse stories coming out of the New York Times. And I just have to go back and get my screen back up. I have to knock it out and put it up again. Just 1 second. Anyway, we'll go on to this New York Times article. It says even the New York Times saying time to break up the Google monopoly. And Robert Johansson is making this. We'll back up here. Yeah. It says, would it surprise you that Natural News and the ultra-liberal New York Times are on the same page? It would, yeah, it really would. As it were, this is, Mike Adams, people saying this. When it comes to consolidation of power and influence in greedy tech industry corporations, that may be the case. Natural News founder Mike Adams wrote about a week ago that the Google monopoly should be broken up for the benefit of consumers. Yes, and just to remind people, Google has 67% of all internet searches across the world, a world monopoly of 67%, which is an outrage. Like, we have Tesco here in Britain controlling 30% of the food supply, which is outrageous. And that's something these Tories better get their grip on when they get back into power. In June, is to put a 15% limit on any company's control of the food supply. That would be my limit. I haven't worked in that area for years. The Times Op-Ed editorial seems to agree with the health ranger about Google in general, suggesting that the government may need to regulate the giant search engine like a public utility, giving its gatekeeper sway over the traffic and e-commerce. Yeah. We're going to have to decide fairly soon whether Google, Facebook, Amazon are the kinds of natural monopolies that need to be regulated, or whether we allow the status quo to continue, pretending that unfettered monopolies don't inflict damage on our privacy and democracy, writes Jonathan Taplin. Well, the top ten tax fiddlers in the UK, which they're supposed to be tackling in the Treasury in London, is Google, Apple, Facebook, that coffee outfit, what do you call them, Starbucks, and six or eight others who are the most appalling tax fiddlers in the world, and all registered in Luxembourg, where Juncker comes from, which is a tax haven hellhole, like Monaco is, all the bent money in the world. But they said if there was a 5% tax on the hedge, on the tax havens of Europe, it would pay off the national debt of Europe. I worked that out. I'll do a piece on that. I'll do a whole program on it if I have to. Postponing the decision by may mean that breaking up Google with its 88%, as they're saying here, 88% market share, that's a new one to me, another dominant, in certain markets they do have that share, but 67% across the world, and other dominant big data entities may result in the situation where antitrust laws were provided. Well, they have to stop here, which they're not dealing with, this. They are absolutely destroying people who are demonetizing people telling the truth on YouTube, like Mark Dice and dozens of other people in the Patriot Movement, actively doing it on YouTube and actively censoring people and data on Google. Earlier this year, Big Pharma-loving Google recently blacklisted Natural News on a flimsy pretext for 6 days and has a history of playing games with its search algorithms, tweaks to determine. Well, that's the biggest enemy on data mining, but the new attack, these algorithms are working to destroy you. Unless you're online, in line with the deep state, you are going to be destroyed in some way, shape, or form. I'm, for instance, doing this program on a phone line because I've been knocked off Skype by the NSA, and we traced them back, and we know exactly who did it. I do have an ally in tech here, but anyway, we're trying to sort that out on RBN on a different method. Breaking up Google monopoly may be the only way to fully preserve freedom of speech on the web. Absolutely. Mike Adam explains, considering how very few young people read newspapers, just as well they don't. Like the BBC is now one of the creeping Jesus mentality of bent news, not covering stuff around the world, not criticizing Israel, not criticizing the European Union. And even some of the reporters still don't get the election results yesterday. It's only the local elections, but it was comprehensively all over the UK. And it's very funny to see them ducking and diving key reporters, trying to glean some hope out of it for the Labour Party. But, say this to Lark in Texas, the biggest purveyor of communitarianism, Jeremy Corbyn, was beaten off the field yesterday. They got a hell of a kicking. They're in opposition in midterm government, and they got absolutely kicked by the electorate. So there isn't much space for communitarianism in Britain, except in the schools and the NGOs who are promoting it all over the place. But anyway, going back onto the subject of Google, Google seems determined to enslave humanity in a delusional bubble of false information from official sources that only know how to lie. These sources, of course, all tend to be leftist, of course, liberal lefty sources that have now repeatedly shown they are completely intolerant of all opposing views, labeling them hate speech. Well, the worst hate is the liberal lefty and the New Age belief freaks, including Macron, who's just coming into view now, which is depressing beyond words. Google-owned YouTube has also demonized videos produced by independent journalists, just as I was saying, who don't follow the progressive globalist party line, and this other despicable creature in Facebook. I'll think of his name in a second. But recall that during the 2016 presidential campaign, Google was accused of manipulating autocomplete search results to suppress negative stories about Hillary Clinton. Sure. Zuckerberg, that's the guy's name on Facebook. And he's right up there with him, with his Israeli passport, you know. To the surprise of no one, Google staffers also supposedly worked directly on the Clinton campaign over the past 8 years. Sure they did. Google lobbyists practically lived in the White House and in Downing Street with Cameron. He had something like 200 meetings with them over 4 years. And revolving door of employment existed between the federal government and Google. As an alternative to the Health Ranger, developed Good Gopher, and there's numerous other ones like DuckDuckGo and Bing.com. People have the option of using these other search engines. But are we up to the break yet? I can't hear any music, Sam. Oh, we are, yeah. Okay, we're coming up to the first break. I barely hear that music. Really faint.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Coming back in again, and we've been talking about, again, criminality and crimes in government and this whole debacle of many of the things we're dealing with today, climate change, global warming, and all the paid-up recruited shills who are paid vis-a-vis the advertising of these multinationals to put out the crimes, and they will not confront. There's another piece of work on BBC the other night, and he was attacked by Michael Portillo. He is, I'll get his name right, the editor of the Financial Times. And he was, the European Union, I'll just break off onto this piece, has suddenly demanded £100 billion from Britain to leave the European Union. £100 billion. Woo, pay £20 billion a year to stay in, and they want £100 billion for us to leave. You know, a divorce settlement. And this Lionel Barber, I can pull these names out of my mind eventually, Lionel Barber, what a piece of work. The editor of the Financial Times. Now, the Financial Times, like the Wall Street Journal, is paraded around the world as, oh, the definitive document daily on financial services. Well, they are. I stopped reading it 10 years ago. I read outtakes of it, but it's the Financial Times, the Wall Street Journal, and the Economist in London, three of the most appalling New Age propaganda pieces. They're basically there to cheerlead the multinationals and propaganda. They're a vile, despicable thing. The Financial Times is trying to convince people under Blair that joining the euro was the best thing we could possibly do. And they blew their own editor out of it, and now there's a bunch of different transient people being editors. This Lionel Barber was trying to justify the European Union demanding £100 billion from Britain to leave the European Union, right? And Andrew Neil was going a little bit too easy on him, but Michael Portillo, who's an ex-MP and minister in the Thatcher government, rounded on him and did a very good job of exposing him for the shill that he is. But the creeps that show up on television as a so-called expert just coming in to give their opinion, you've got to be wise in discernment of who they are. I've been watching these people for 30, 40 years. But there's just one of them to name. And in a similar piece here, again, concerning the New York Times, it says, Robert Perry warns, the New York Times is cheering on censorship algorithms. Yeah, this is what Google are doing. On one area, they're saying Google is a monopoly. On another area, they're lying like hell. And the article goes like this, combination of editors, National News writing this, the 2016 presidential election was a gigantic wake-up call for the corporate press in the U.S., not so much because Hillary Clinton lost, but because it... Excuse me. All right. But because it represented the end of mainstream media's ability to seamlessly force the narratives down the throats of gullible and plain Americans. It rose up like weeds in a field, like the Viet Cong standing up in a wheat field. That's the way I look at it. The marketplace of ideas has been flooded by the internet, and the people made a decision. The media wars came and went, and the corporate press lost badly. That doesn't stop them continuing, though. And I'm saying here, the election of Donald Trump was as much a middle finger to the U.S. corporate press as anything else, and the corporate media didn't take too kindly to it. Rather than admit failure, refocus, and complete within the freewheeling information age, the corporate media has resorted to endless whining and support for tech overlord censorship, meaning the likes of Google and censoring the news. It simply knows it can't win a fair fight, so it has to decide to cheat. Well, all the people who have these so-called journalists who are bought and paid for pimps, how can they have any respect for themselves calling themselves journalists? They're basically entertainers on CNN and these organizations. But journalism in America, as Paul Craig Roberts, is completely stone dead. But anyway, we're at the bottom of the hour break, and we should be back in about 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It would just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Okay, and we're coming back in from the bottom of the hour break. And we've been talking today so far about, again, gargantuan propaganda and lies about climate change and Al Gore and these Google and the New York Times. Just the last piece I'll do today on algorithms, but we were talking here about the New York Times promoting these algorithms to censor news. I mean, who could read this crap, disgusting paper, the New York Times and the Washington Post, which is known as the Washington Compost? Appalling propaganda and lies. About 80% of it is twisted lies. But this guy, Robert Perry, is saying here, of Consortium News, Robert Perry explains in a recent post in the New York Times, cheers to rise of censorship algorithms. I can see the thing myself here, that in a few years' time, unless Google is properly dealt with, that the likes of Eric Schmidt and a couple of algorithms will be running the mainstream press. And you'll have these talking heads who pretend to be journalists talking to other talking heads who are entertainment department of ABC and NBC. That's how bad it'll get. And we're fairly close to it right now. But the New York Times, one of the top promoters of this new Orwellian model for censorship, devoted two-thirds of a page in its Tuesday editions to a laundry piece, whatever the word is, about high-tech entrepreneurs refining artificial intelligence that can hunt down and eradicate supposedly fake news. Well, they're hunting down and eradicating the truth. People are not confused about that. Since the Times, in its New York Times, is a member of the Google-funded First Draft Coalition, I haven't heard of that before, along with other mainstream outlets such as the Washington Post, of course, and the pro-NATO propaganda site BelligerCat, and the BBC quoting these people all the time, make it puke. This idea of eliminating information that counters what the group assets asserts is true may seem quite appealing to the Times and other insiders. After all, it might seem cool to have some high-tech tool that silences your critics automatically. Whoa, this is the Soviet Union again. But you don't need... there's more freedom in Russia today than there is in Britain. We've got the Soviet Union is dead. Modern Russia, there is more freedom there than there is here. That's a fact. And if you want to look at RT Russia Today, which is manned by American, British, and European journalists, and some Russian, you cannot detect any, and there is no hardcore propaganda ever. And most of the serious interviews they do, they reproduce the script, so you can read back and check it. But you don't, it says here, you don't need a huge amount of imagination to see how this combination of mainstream groupthink and artificial intelligence could create an Orwellian future, which only one side of the story gets told and the other side simply disappears from view. As much as the New York Times and the Washington Post and others see themselves as the fount of all wisdom, the reality is that they have all made significant journalistic errors, sometimes contributing to horrific international crises. They just don't care. For instance, in 2002, the New York Times reporting that Iraq purchase of aluminium tubes revealed a secret nuclear weapons program. When the tubes were really for artillery, the Post wrote as a flat fact that Saddam Hussein was hiding stockpiles of WMDs. And we know all that story, etc. All State Department lies. Well, they were fed that story by the State Department. Etc. But anyway, we'll leave this. Just final thing on algorithms. The Times quotes the promoters of this high-tech censorship effort without any skepticism. It says algorithms will have to do a lot of the heavy lifting when it comes to fighting misinformation. Well, the algorithms will be putting out the disinformation, folks. Said Claire Wardle, head of strategy and research for the First Draft News, another organization, a non-profit organization that has teamed up with tech companies
and newsrooms
to debunk fake reports. Oh, dear, it's just shocking. I won't read much more of this. It's just like I say, when people are quoting scientists, they seem to bow the head and tip the forelock. Most scientists are paid to tell horrendous lies to the public, nothing to do with the actual research they're doing, and they have signed disclosure agreements. So to find honest science, you're dealing with less than 10%. Right, and that's what Natural News does in my ground. That's why I quote it so often. It's a very worthy resource, and I certainly, like many people, couldn't improve on it. But anyway, getting back to other things, urban matters. My favorite place. L.A. residents wiped out 55% of their own urban forest in just one decade. Brian and Jen up in Washington will be interested to hear this. California, an open-air lunatic asylum. You can't talk about it any other way. And the Oroville Dam, which is going to give way after the spring runoff because of chronic lack of maintenance. They're working feverishly to maintain it now, but it's too late. Natural News. The sunny California has become known for its expansive policies geared towards environmental protection and conservation, and yet research shows that In Los Angeles alone, residents have managed to destroy over 50% of the city's greenery in just 10 years. Apparently, the city of the angels, of MS-13 and people like that, tree and sanctuary cities, that's a good way of destroying a city. Apparently, the city of angels, Los Angeles, trees are only worth saving when there isn't, and there aren't any, aren't in your backyard. California continues to show that it really is not all it's cracked up to be. That's putting it mildly. Vicky Batts is writing this article for Natural News. As you're saying here, researchers from the University of California Special Sciences Institute say that preventing the removal of trees and other greenery to pave the way for bigger homes
and nicer
driveways would likely go a lot further than planting trees alone. What? Using aerial images, the scientists have discovered that the rate of what they call degreening has reached as high as 55% in some areas of Los Angeles region, meaning over half the trees and other plant life in some neighborhoods are long gone. It was 4x4 sitting in their place. That's financed on loans that people can't really afford. That's the insanity of today's consumerism. Ironically, a notable amount of these green spaces losses occurred while the city was in the midst of launching its 2007 Million Trees campaign to increase tree planting. Clearly, the planting effort couldn't keep up with the rate of deforestation in such an urbanized area. Well, that's why in Britain, giving a quick analogy, in Britain there's a lot of urban flooding, and not that the rainfall has increased that much. We've had some very severe rainfall and flooding, but people paving over their gardens and driveways, the runoff is shocking into the storm drains. It's five or six, ten times more where it used to absorb into the soil of the garden. And that's a big factor in Britain. People, families having two or three cars and four by fours and small gardens. Gardens in the UK in front of houses are walled off and quite small. But that's a factor, parallel factor to that here in the UK. I said the Baldwin Park area of Los Angeles Basin, in terms of degreening, boasting a 55% decline in green spaces during the 10-year period. Sources say other areas in the study that had at least 20% loss in cover included three or four areas, Crompton, whatever they are. To conduct their research, the team from UC Special Science Institute used digitized high-resolution aerial images, which were graciously provided by Los Angeles Regional Imagery. Well, the Google map would help you there. On such times, they start falsifying these Google maps. I don't think they've started doing that yet, apart from taking out key military bases. After classifying what was observed in the image into six different categories of land cover, the team compared changes in the images from different points in time. Images from 2000 to 2009 were used for comparison purposes. Anyway, they're going on and on the survey. But that's the carry-on. One final point it says here about it. In addition to the woes of Los Angeles area, the entire state of California has been losing trees at a record pace. In late 2016, it was reported that approximately 62 million trees had died in the Golden State in 1 year, probably because of the use of glyphosate, I would imagine, and killing dogs walking in parks and damaging children were down at that level. Trees residing on federal, state, and private land were all part of this devastating loss. And when compared with 2015 losses of 29 million this year, the 2016 was a frighteningly bad year for trees in California. California. What can you say about California? Ooh, it's beyond words. Absolutely beyond words. And another bizarre story in the same vein. And this is the obedient public so brainwashed by climate change propaganda that they now call weather forecasts. They call weather forecasters after every rainstorm to demand answers. Weather forecasts have nothing to do with climate change. And it's saying here, the global warming hoaxes have so in propagandized their followers in the church of climate change, and it's a religion, the new age religion, climate change. Dogma that now, after nearly every weather event, every weather event, like a hurricane, etc., extreme weather-wise, climatologists and meteorologists are inundated with phone calls from worshippers demanding to know what they're going on and why. Mostly the cultists, very sarcastic, mostly the cultists want to know if humans are responsible for having created the weather event. Yeah, maybe you should shoot your neighbor. Maybe that's still trying to get around to that point, is it? Related, read the real fake news exposed. 97% of scientists agree on climate change is an engineered event. Oh, sorry, 97%? No, sir. 97% of about 20%. I have to correct that. That's overlapping other research I have. Here is what the media never told you. The question is being asked by the general public and the people trying to make decisions about how to manage the risks of changing climate. Noah Diffenbach, wonderful names, these scientists, professor of Earth Science, System Science in Stanford School of Earth, Energy and Environmental Science, good God, what a title, told the University Public Affairs Department in an interview. This is what he said. Getting an accurate answer is important for everything from farming to insurance premiums to international supply chains to infrastructure, he said. You just can't make this kind of stuff up. Well, most of the scientists do. They're paid to do it. And ironically, the Stanford University report claimed that in years past, climate scientists refrained from tying scientific weather events to human caused global warming and climate change, supposedly due to the natural variability of weather. Over the past decade, there has been an explosion of research to the point where we are seeing results released within a few weeks. Excuse me, my friend writing this, there's an explosion in propaganda. And there's very few journalists who are trained to decipher this information, that being the problem. And he's right in the climate change sciences. Anyway, leave that article be, but just propaganda. It's coming out of the woodwork at every level, and it's quite... quite hard to keep up with. Anyway, I think we have a caller, Glenn in Philadelphia. Hello.
Good morning.
Hello there.
Hey, Jay.
Aye, aye.
How's that? I did better. I didn't call you Mr. Barden.
No, I got scared. I thought it's a bill coming at me, you know. And we were calling somebody up there. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. Greetings from the suburbs of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Here you're talking about California, I tell you. Sometimes I have a friend in San Diego. It's a nice place to visit, but I surely would not want to live there. You know,
Mark Dice, you know, you follow Mark Dice, do you?
No, I don't.
What? He's done 1,500 interviews on the seafront in San Diego, asking people.
I'm familiar I'm sorry. Okay, I'm familiar with.
Look it up
name,
on YouTube. Look it up on YouTube. It's very good. It's a social commentary piece. It's sarcastic, and he's pretending he's doing surveys and telling people that Hillary Clinton has appointed Karl Marx as his economics advisor, and most of them think it's a good idea, you know, and things like that, you know.
Oh, my.
But they carry on, yeah.
Right, right. But San Diego's a really nice place. Now I'm a frumpy, slightly overweight, late middle-aged guy from the suburbs of Philadelphia. And when I walk along the seaside there in San Diego, it's readily apparent that you ain't from around here, are you? Because of all the beautiful people out and about and everything, and it's a really neat area of San Diego.
And suntans, yeah. Oh, I see them. You do pull up Mark Dice's reports. He lives there, obviously. But they're whizzing around. To use, quote, Michael Herzog on this network, they just want to be happy. That's all. Everything else is relevant. They just want to be happy. How about that?
Exactly. I think Californians, I'm thinking about people and the way they identify with the places where they live, and you being from Wales, I think John Stadtmiller mentioned the other day that he said something, he used an incorrect American term, you know, like referred to as being from Britain, and they're like, well, no, I'm from Wales, you know, which is part of the UK, but there was something about the nomenclature that he got wrong, which we Americans are wont to do, you know, but...
Yeah.
I think,
sorry about the background noise here. There's heavy, heavy trucks going up the street. Sorry, yeah.
Oh, no. It's
motorbike
not
crew
that
in
noticeable.
Town. Sorry, go ahead, yeah. Carry on.
Not that noticeable. But the Californians identify with being Californians, and in a different way, Texans certainly identify as being Texans. But here in Pennsylvanians, I think, very often don't identify with their state that much. They tend to identify with their cities and their sports teams, you know, Philadelphia, Phillies and Eagles, sure. Pittsburgh, you know, Penguins and Steelers and stuff. And Pennsylvania, it's funny because I think I'm here to, Pennsylvania, I think, is a sort of underrated state because we have sort of advantages in that we tend not to get the worst of the worst when it comes to storms and that sort of thing.
Serious hard work at that heavy industry, and people work for a serious living there. I can understand that. They've probably got their feet on the ground. I lived in Colorado, and Coloradans are pretty much down-to-earth people. But,
exactly.
The level of propaganda hitting people, it's massive.
It's quite interesting. Interesting stuff. But I'm in the suburbs. I wouldn't want to live in the city proper, per se, but the suburbs of Philadelphia, a pretty nice place. That's until, you know, we get a pole shift and the whole thing gets flooded, but we'll see about that. But
indeed.
I called about geopolitically was, I listen to a lot of talk radio. I work a lot, and while I'm working, I can often wear my Bluetooth headset and listen to streaming talk radio and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, I wanted to address the issue of geopolitical, you know, crisis fatigue, because, and I'm thinking about listening to talk radio, there's a difference between responding appropriately to something and preparing and reasonably being ready for problems versus living in anxiety all the time and being overly preoccupied with some stuff. You know, there are a lot of people who, get agita about, all worked up about all everything, but they don't necessarily prep or anything. And this whole idea of, limiting your, not becoming too obsessional about, involved with this stuff all the time.
People who are gullible listening to CNN could be wound up very quickly because of the amount of lies and the trivial way the big way they dramatize, you know, stuff, etc.
Oh, yeah.
But key word is discernment, you know.
Mm-hmm. And managing... I always think about the line from Karate Kid where Mr. Miyagi is teaching Daniel about balance. He says, you know, and there's this, you know, famous line, like, balance, not just for karate. Whole life about balance, you know?
Indeed, indeed, indeed. Okay, we're coming after the break, but thanks for that. We'll
okay,
talk to you sometime
care.
Soon.
Take care,
we'll,
bye-bye.
We'll talk to Dan in Hawaii after the break, okay?
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Okay, and we're coming back in again for the last few minutes, and we have a caller, Dan in Hawaii. Hello.
Hi. Aloha.
Hello there. Yep.
I'm here on the Big Island of Hawaii.
You're down there with Michael Rivero, are you?
Yes, how are you?
I can't hear you too well, Dan or Sam. Just can't
okay.
Hear that.
How about now?
Say again, yeah. Dan, yeah.
This is Dan in Hawaii.
Yep, yeah, yep.
Okay. Well, I wanted to give you a little anecdotal story my father told me once. He was an L.A. City fireman.
Mm-hmm.
Retired. He's gone now.
Yeah.
Real interesting guy, real basic. Born in Wyoming, cowboy. Moved to L.A., joined the fire department. He was very cognitive about future events. He came home from a fire about 1959, 1960, in L.A. I believe it was called the Brentwood Fire. And he got burned on his neck, and he had to go to the hospital, and I was just a kid then. He came home and sat down in his chair and turned on the light, and he looked right at me, and here's what he said. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Okay. He looked at me, and he said, "Son, you mark my words, someday the whole L.A. Basin will burn to the ground." And he told me
that. For what reason? For what reason?
Okay. And I questioned him a little. And I said, "Why? Why would that happen?" And he said, "Because we don't have enough water pressure to put out a major conflagration, and that someday this would happen."
And sorry, just reminded, what year was that he said that?
I think it was around 59, 60, somewhere in there.
A long time ago. Are you aware?
So
of
I've been waiting
on
all that.
Hold on. Are you aware of what's going on with the Orville Dam at the moment?
More than the average person would be, yeah.
Well, the dam is fatally damaged due to lack of maintenance, the spillways, and because of the sudden uptake of rain after the drought, it was overflowing and it's damaged, but the spring runoff is coming now, and it may give way. But the dams have been purposely neglected by Jerry Brown and these New Age freaks running California, and it's part of the HARP situation that we had. They had a false drought there, a man-created drought. That wasn't a natural drought. That was created by the HARP system, weather manipulation, which is designed to destroy the food production in California. That is not a joke. That is not conspiracy theory. But the people...
Well, I think you're right, and I think L.A. might be part of the equation, because, of course, if you lose the basin, you'll lose the L.A. harbor.
Sure. And the Chinese own the harbors, by the way, and the ports, just for good measure.
Yeah.
And they're backing
Calec. Thank you.
Okay, sir. Okay, talk to you soon. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we'll be back at the top of the hour break.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.